I'm Tara.
And I'm Ashley.
Each week, two movies battle it out in a bracket-style competition to find the ultimate romantic comedy.
This is The Trope Report. Hey, Ash.
Hey, Tara.
This week, we're discussing Licorice Pizza versus The Wedding Planner.
Licorice Pizza is a two seed with a 91%.
And Wedding Planner is a 15 seed with a 17%. And I just want to say this is a perfect example of why we do this bracket, because both of these should be number 20 seeds, bottom place, horrible movies. I hated them.
I feel the same way.
We have been dying. Okay. We've been texting each other. We text each other and say, I can't wait to talk because we can't talk before recording. So you get genuine reactions. But I think we both had a feeling what we were coming in with.
Okay, here's the thing. Well, which movie are we starting with before I hear the thing yet?
Oh, my God. I don't even care. Licorice Pizza, because we just said it first.
Give us a synopsis before I get into my rant.
Okay, so for this, I didn't feel like writing a synopsis because I was so annoyed with this movie. So I just did word vomit, word association with this movie, what came to mind.
Okay.
So here's a couple words that I thought of. Ready? Boring. Too long. Water beds.
Jail time.
Water beds. Cringy. 70s. Inappropriate. Uncomfortable. Sleazy. I'm confused. Acne. Bradley Cooper. That's it.
Okay, here's the thing about this movie is that it's illegal.
This movie is banned. Okay. I know that we gave mad deductions for the Drew Barrymore one where she's in love with her teacher, but she was actually of age, right? Like the teacher. Yeah,
that's the thing. She was actually of age.
Yes. And we ridicule that. This is straight up the guy is 15, the girl is 25.
Well, actually, she might be 28. I looked it up on Wikipedia because she kept saying
she said 28.
She would say 28, and then they'd ask again, and she'd be like 25. So she's probably 28. And
so she actually is 28.
That would be like if either of us was dating a sophomore in high school.
I am 28, Ash.
Yeah, I'm gonna vomit.
Oh my God, I'm gonna vomit everywhere. A 15-year-old,
The entire movie, I was like, this can't be where it's heading, right?
Have like directors and producers lost their mind that they are grasping so much that they think this is so wonderful of a movie? They rated this so high. Are you insane? What even happened in this movie?
You can tell because the audience score was a lot lower, wasn't it?
Yes.
Like 60 something?
Yeah.
Because we know it's wrong. But you know Hollywood, full of predators. I saw
true.
Quiet on set. I know the truth.
I couldn't even watch it. I couldn't stomach it. I couldn't think.
It's horrible.
But my favorite TV shows, what was going on behind the scenes.
It's absolutely disgusting, horrible. And look at these. These guys are promoting it in a movie. Because, okay, I may have looked up on Reddit because I had to know what people were thinking of this movie.
Yeah, tell me.
And Brian was no help. Brian's like, you just gotta watch the movie.
No, because
he loves it.
In the last episode, when we ended, we said next week is Licorice Pizza versus Wedding Planner. And Brian's like, whoa, I might need to come on for next week. I then FaceTimed him later, maybe the next day or the day after or whatever. And I was like, yeah, I have to watch the movies. Are you coming on or are you not coming on? And he was like, Licorice Pizza was one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Oh, so he knows.
He hated it. And he was like, I can't come on. It's so bad.
Okay, thank God he knows. I thought he was in love with this movie.
No, he was like...
I was going to really question his morals.
No, him and his friends like constantly make fun of it. Like, also, I guess they were trying to be original with the name or something, but it's, and apparently it's the name for what, a record store or something back in the 70s, but it's so bad. It's just, I love licorice, black licorice especially. I love pizza, but that doesn't entice me, licorice pizza.
I kept waiting for the answer to why it's named that. you know?
I think it's because it's like a retro thing that they're trying to make it vibey.
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
This movie is the product of Nepo Babies Gone Too Far, I think.
I think so, too.
Because it's Paul Thomas Anderson. They hired Alana Haim, who's been in the industry. She's in a rock band. And then the son of Philip Seymour Hoffman is
true.
A 15-year-old.
Yes.
And I just feel like this is for the people in the industry, you know?
I agree. I completely agree. I just am sorry, but I felt, like I said, uncomfortable the whole time. I'm okay with, like, making things a little cringy and, like, but, like, mm-hmm. they did it in a different way that did not feel good at all. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm all about, like,
yeah.
okay, everyone wants to see beautiful people in movies, obviously, like, in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, but I don't need to have that. Like, no. This was just, though, like, this was beyond that. It was just, like, everything they were doing was just so uncomfortable to watch.
I would have liked it more if it was less of an age difference. If, you know, it was a senior in high school and a sophomore in high school.
Okay, that definitely blocked me. But I think even beyond that, what the fuck happened? Nothing.
No, I agree. But I think, I just couldn't get past that part the entire movie. I'm like, this can't be where that's going, right?
Yeah.
This can't be where the movie's heading.
Okay, maybe we give a little context.
The 70s vibes.
Yeah.
Right? It took place in the 70s?
70s.
Yes, 1973. The 70s vibes, I liked that. I kind of liked the very beginning opening scene. Like, there were moody tonal aspects that I liked about the movie, but I just thought it didn't deliver on plot.
No.
And it's just, I'm so annoyed.
Listen, the two main characters meet each other because this 15-year-old little boy is getting his photo taken for the school yearbook, and she's working at the place, right? Like, who's doing the photo shoot. And he immediately is in love with her, and, like, they hit it off, kind of. I mean, she's, like, pretending she's disgusted with him, but the whole thing is he's, like, this sleazy little businessman. And, like, I felt uncomfortable the whole time just when I'm thinking about it. Like, him going to New York, I know I'm jumping, but, like, he thinks he's an actor, and he was in, like, one little play or something, and they go to New York, and she has to be the chaperone because his mom can't go. And then just the way he acts, even that other character that she went on a date with.
He's on TV. He's on, like, a variety show type Brady Bunch-esque.
But, like, didn't he just
a variety show?
Didn't he just creep you out so much because he seemed so sleazy? And I know that he's, like, trying to make money moves, but he did it in such, like, a cringy, uncomfortable. Like, I hate this.
Well, wait till I tell you this.
What?
This is based on a true story.
Of who? I never want to meet this person.
Let me look up who the guy is, but it's one of Paul Thomas Anderson's good friends is who it's based on, which was, like, a guy that grew up in showbiz in the 70s.
This is what
I'm
saying.
And all of this is basically, like, a true story.
I really do think that people that grow up surrounded by this stuff, it's just, like, you can't help but be totally fucked up by this. You guys are freaks, probably, right? Like, it's just seems,
absolutely.
It seems like they're insane.
It was so clear that he grew up really fast. Like, his mom was more of a manager than a mom.
Yeah.
And he's hanging out at bars and, you know, is acting like he is this really mature guy. So this is what I looked up on Reddit, because I was like, how are people raving about this movie?
Yeah.
You know, what are they getting from it? And I guess the movie was, this is based on Reddit, so take it with a grain of salt. I don't know.
Yeah.
These aren't critics. But I guess the idea behind the movie was showing, like, a contrast between an older person who's immature and a younger person who was more mature or something
I
like
mean,
that.
I mean, yeah, I got that. Like I can definitely see that because he's trying to run all these businesses throughout the movie and she's going along with it. And
she's grasping on to his success, because even at the beginning she says, you're going to grow up and do big things and get out of this town. I'm still going to be right here.
And that's what I hate too. When a character is, I understand that they're trying, but especially when I come to a movie for a romantic comedy, mm-hmm. like when a character is so absolutely insecure, it really, mm-hmm. I just don't like it. Like, it's, I understand that people are insecure in real life, but in a romantic comedy, I want power people. I know that everyone will have flaws, but this girl was so riddled with so many issues. Mm-hmm. I was like, this isn't fun. This is not lighthearted. This is not why we're here.
And here's the thing. The first, like, 30 minutes, I had thought, when she said she was 25, I thought she was joking.
Yeah.
And that she was, like, just from the school.
She's
and I
not.
Didn't enjoy that more, because I do kind of like the trope of the guy that's super into the girl first and does all this courtship. So when they were first walking through the halls and he's just following her, being like, I'm going to be at this place for dinner, show up. Like, I'm more mature than I look, and, like, you know, just trying to rizz it up.
Can you really just imagine, though, like, I would go out with a guy who's 15 years old right now, and I would get a dirty martini, and he would have to get a water or a juice box.
Like, I can't even fathom this.
That's disgusting. I think the other thing, though, that bothered me is that they didn't seem to learn anything in the end. We love when people are learning and people are helping each other. They truly ended how they started. It's just that they were then together. Like, they didn't grow at all.
That's a bad lesson to learn.
Yes.
I thought, okay, maybe this will have a twist where she realizes what she's doing is toxic. She can't date a 15-year-old.
Yes, yeah.
And she'll be forced to grow up and date someone her own age. Like, the when she was working for that political party or something.
Okay, hello. Think about No Hard Feelings. That was done so much better than this. Exactly.
But I knew that's not what was going to happen, because then it wouldn't be a rom-com, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because No Hard Feelings isn't a rom-com. It's like a coming of age.
Yeah, that's true.
Because no one ends up together in the end. But so this was just stressful. Let's just get into the plot a little bit. So he...
And then end my misery, please.
Yeah, so she is just... I mean, and then we're on to more misery.
I know. Horrible.
This was a really bad week for us.
It was really, really painful. I'm not kidding. I had to watch this movie in parts. I watched The Wedding Planner, I think, in full. I had to watch Licorice Pizza in multiple parts because it was so painful for me. I couldn't get through it in one sitting. Plus, it was 2.5 hours long of watching this.
Yeah, this was a long movie, too. So she initially thwarts his pursuit of her.
Yeah.
But he says, well, this is where I go every night. This kind of vibey restaurant bar.
Which, I love a vibey bar. Yeah. Love a vibey bar. But yet again, they ruined it somehow for me. Again, I think it was the age difference.
The age difference really ruined it. The vibes were okay. If we saw two grown adults, one in the industry, one a photographer or something, I would have liked that more. You know?
Let me give one more thing mm-hmm. here. Because I'm trying to compare it to other movies, and I'm like, are we too hard? I don't think so, but I'm just saying, one of my favorite movies of all time, and I feel like I say this on every episode where I'm like, one of my favorite movies, and I'm just listing a new movie every time. But this is truly, everyone that knows me can vouch for this, one of my favorite movies is Silver Linings Playbook. Now
that is one of her favorites.
Yes.
I can vouch.
That is, shout out to Bradley Cooper again. That is a very darker movie, but it has heavy romance and it has heavy comedy. It's just a little dark, twisted comedy. But, and I feel like it's kind of like the vibiness of what this movie is trying to do, like be different, have some like darkness to it, show the real world. Like, that's Philly and they're, you know, they both have problems, whatever. Right, they're on medication, but then they fall in love. But this was, it absolutely just flopped. Like, you walk away from Silver Linings Playbook and I am giddy because I'm just like, what a great ending. They're in love. This, I'm like, I can't even believe they kissed in the end. This is disgusting.
Yeah, I was disgusted by it. In Silver Linings Playbook, it was two broken people whose, like, shards of their existence fit to existence fit together.
Yeah.
And that's what made it so good. It was like their forms of brokenness work well together.
Yeah.
This was just too,
again,
like,
they help each other out and make each other better.
That just give into their sin, I guess.
Yes. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Man.
I mean, even everything about it, like, if their goal was to make me uncomfortable, they did it. The scenes with the waterbed. So, like, one of his first things is he's trying to sell waterbeds, right? And how is this kid always opening up stores? It has to be harder than this. And don't just tell me it's the 70s people.
He must make a lot of money from...
Yeah, I don't understand. So, he's selling waterbeds. And, like, she's in a bikini trying to sell what? Like, the whole, like, it's just, why are you trying to, why is this, this is so inappropriate. Like, if I went into a store and some woman's in a bikini trying to sell me something, I'd be like, I can't take you seriously. This is so bad.
But the thing is, this was based on, like, someone's real life. So this must be what the 70s was like.
Okay, also... Okay, then I want a romanticized 70s movie because I can't cut it back then.
I can't handle the real
deal. Okay, she goes to try and audition for something. I'm just grabbing standout notes here. Mm-hmm. And the lady is such a psychopath who's, like, auditioning her. And I have a quote. She calls, what's her name, Alana?
Alana.
She calls her a pit bull dog with sex appeal and a very Jewish nose. This is, like, I can't.
But then she goes on to be, like, Jewish noses are in right now.
Yeah. And she's, like, you will lose out on work if you don't agree to nudity. And then he gets so mad because this is such a fucking weird part. He goes, I can't believe you would agree to do nudity in movies, but you won't show me your boobs. What?
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 Because you're 15, you perv.
And then why does she do it?
Yeah,
riddle me that.
She does it.
Why does she do it? She leaves, she's furious with him, and then she comes back 20 minutes later and she shows her boobs to him. Why?
It's just this entire movie, I just can't fathom any of the decisions being made.
No. It's absolutely psychotic people that need to be locked up.
And one of the arguments I saw on Reddit, which I think they don't have a leg to stand on, is, oh, well, that's illegal, but we show illegal stuff in movies all the time, like characters doing drugs and shooting people and whatever.
I think, give me a break.
Jack from work actually said that too, because I was watching this and I said, this is ridiculous. So I went to work and I said, have you guys heard of this movie? It's a 15-year-old and a 28-year-old.
Yeah.
And it's a love story between them. Is that even legal? Because it's not.
That, you know, can't be legal. You know when I would make an excuse for it? Back in medieval times when there were no laws.
Yeah.
Not the 70s. There's laws for that.
And they were just like, oh, I don't know. Like, there's bad stuff in movies all the time. Who cares? But here's the thing. In movies, it's usually showing that these people are shitty people. Like, in Euphoria, Rue's drug use isn't romanticized to be made out to be this great thing. But this movie, it's literally a romanticization of this relationship of a 15 and a grown woman. And just every single, like, first of all, I wouldn't have even considered going to the dinner the very first night.
Yes.
Like, are you kidding me?
I mean, and do you need a babysitter? I can babysit you if you pay me.
She chaperones him on a trip to New York.
Yeah.
Just every single decision she's making to continue this relationship is inappropriate. Shows him her boobs.
It just seemed like also, though, like, so different. Like, it was just such a big age gap, it felt like. Like,
yeah. Which, I mean, I feel like they cast, which this is also sick to me, I feel like they purposefully cast someone who looks younger to try to make us forget the age gap. Because I thought Alana didn't look that young. I mean, looked younger than she is.
Yeah.
And I thought the 15-year-old looked older than he was.
Agreed.
So I feel seem more normal.
Well, they're probably trying to play into their personalities too. Like,
well, also, when this was filmed, they were like 20 and 30 in real life.
Yeah, I just hate everything about this.
Because if they cast an actual 15-year-old boy, it would be more apparent how bad that is.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed.
This is just sick. The best part, though, Bradley Cooper, of course.
He was off his rocker. I mean, I always love him and whatever he does. He was off his rocker. He's like some, he's married or dating Barbara Streisand.
Dating Barbara Streisand. He has a big head about it.
Yeah, and he orders a waterbed from them. And like, I don't understand their decision making. So they're selling waterbeds. They bring it to his house. He says, I have to go out with Barbara. If you ruin anything in my house, I'm killing your brother, which like, yeah. He's insane. So then they go in the house and then they basically overflow the waterbed until it's flooding everywhere. And they run away.
They're so mad at him for being a dick.
That's how immature they are. Why would you do that when someone just threatened to kill your brother? What?
Yeah.
Why would you even chance that? They're so stupid. The only part that I liked in this movie was when she backed the truck all the way down without gas.
That was
because I was cool. Like, that was one single freaking time in this movie where she actually had balls and was like accomplishing something. Everything else, she's riddled with fears and thinks that she can't do anything.
And here's the thing. This was the first time that we saw her character actually reflect on her actions. We're at the end. So, Alana, played by one of the Haim sisters. Oh, Alana Haim is her name in real life, too.
Okay,
easy enough. So, they're running away from Bradley Cooper. This is when oil is super expensive. So, gas is...
Everyone's out of gas. There's an oil embargo. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they run out of gas at the top of the hill, and they're trying to escape Bradley Cooper before he can murder them. And so she basically puts the car in neutral so that she goes down the hill and then, like, maneuvers it to end up at the gas station so that they can fill up.
Yeah.
And also I saw that she did that stunt herself. Pretty impressive.
Whoa. Okay. Props.
Good for her. She had to learn how to drive a giant truck.
And I just like to say, this is no reflection on the actual people.
I think the actors did well for what they were told to do.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
I think they did. Was actually very impressed with Alana Haim.
Yeah, I would not
she's a musician first and foremost, but I thought she played the character well, obviously, if we're disliking the character.
I agree. I would not say at all that this was bad acting, ever. I never thought that once. It was just a horrible movie.
It was just the plot and the direction and the
but I also even thought that scenes were like too long too sometimes. Like, I'm just like, oh my God, you're really dragging this out. Like, God.
The things I liked, I thought the acting was good and I thought the cinematography was good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way that they shot these kind of dusty 70s scenes, I think, was interesting. But anyway, so she does this whole maneuver, and at the bottom, she has a moment where she realizes, wow, I'm surrounded by immature children all this time. I need to make a change in my life. This isn't healthy. What am I doing here?
Yeah.
Almost getting murdered by Bradley Cooper because I'm letting these 15-year-olds run amok.
Yep.
And so she has this moment of self-reflection that leads to her quitting her job at the, or well, I guess they just closed down the waterbed store.
Yeah.
So she gets a job working for a politician, like helping in his campaign. And so we finally see her grow and start to become an adult and hang out with adults. Yeah. And then she completely just abandons all of that.
Yeah.
Like, so any character development we did see is
reversed.
Vetoed. Like,
I stopped taking notes after I said she volunteers for mayor that's running. I can't take notes anymore on this. And then I stopped taking notes. I don't even remember like what happens in between her doing the mayor thing, but I just know that at the end they're running to each other and then they make out.
I mean, not much does happen. She becomes a beard for the guy she's running the campaign for. So she kind of has she thinks that he's interested in her romantically, but it turns out he's gay and just needed her help covering it up.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a perfectly nice guy that worked there that she could have gone out with and wanted to go out with her.
Yeah.
And they didn't really make it clear why she ended things with him or, like, never pursued that.
That's it. That's how it basically ends. Like, I think she hugs the mayor's boyfriend, right? Like, that has to be hidden. And doesn't she just sprint back?
Maybe? Yeah, she...
She sprints. I guess her, why are they sprinting to each other in the end?
Yeah, so she runs to towards the arcade, which he's opening up an arcade at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And he went to her office to look for her.
Yeah.
And so now they're trying to find each other, and they're running all around town, and then they find each other and run into each other's arms, and then he walks her back to the arcade and introduces her as Mrs. Alana Valentine.
Oh, saying his last name. Like, are you kidding me? That's so gross to me.
And then they kiss and run off into the night, and she says she loves him.
Everyone should be arrested in this movie.
Everyone needs jail time. The 70s were a crazy time, I guess.
It can't be all like this. I mean, this must have pinpointed the worst, absolute worst qualities. Can we get to Wedding Planner, please?
Yeah, let's just move on.
Give a synopsis. What a depressing episode.
This is a horrible episode. We should have had Brian on just to hopefully
spice it up or
make
something.
It a little bit lighter. Because we're just like sad.
I think he would have agreed with everything that we're saying. I mean, it's really bad.
That's true. But he maybe would have done an impression.
True. We could have maybe gotten that.
Okay. Always the wedding planner, never the bride. Mary, played by J-Lo, is planning her biggest wedding yet. And when she has a meet cute with the ever handsome Steve, played by Matthew McConaughey, things seem to be perfect until she learns that Steve is the groom in the big wedding. Oh, no. This is a classic case of right person, wrong time. This is The Wedding Planner. Okay.
All right. It's really bad.
This was also a bad movie. This was so bad.
Yeah. Listen, if you're telling me you have to rewatch one of these, obviously I'm picking Wedding Planner because it was just a little bit later, but
I never want to see either of these movies.
Well, it's also shorter, so if I'm going for time wasted throughout my day. Yeah.
And here's the thing. Matthew McConaughey was good in this.
Is good in anything he does.
I just kept wishing he had Kate Hudson across from him.
I know.
In all of these scenes. I just think because here's the thing. Matthew McConaughey and J-Lo didn't have any chemistry.
No, absolutely not. Well, first off,
zero chemistry.
They're making J-Lo Sicilian. Okay, strike one. Strike two. Strike two is they have Karev from Grey's Anatomy. They have him as Sicilian.
He's so hot.
That's the worst accent I've ever heard. This is a worse accent than Little Italy. You gotta tell me that.
That's because Little Italy, he was doing like a New York Italian accent,
I guess.
Karev was trying to do an actual Italian accent, which was also really bad.
It was so bad.
Like, it was from Italy. So bad. Why did they make him do that? They could have easily made this their family in Chicago or something. Just let him speak normally.
Please, please, I beg of you.
Please. And also, then they also...
What?
They also made Matthew McConaughey blonde with like wire rimmed glasses.
I was gonna say,
this is not the right look for him.
He looked like, you know how when you were in high school and there was all those guys on the swim team and their hair was so wiry from all the chlorine? This is what it looked like. This is what his hair looked like. I was like, they're doing no justice.
It looked really damaged.
They're doing no justice to anyone. Yeah, horrible.
Like, why would you do that to Matthew McConaughey, who's gorgeous just the way he is?
Mm-hmm.
And they took him and made him look not great.
No. Agreed.
And then J-Lo was just... So I showed Tara the video of J-Lo.
Me? Oh, yes.
J-Lo in her documentary when she has her hair out and she's like, oh, when my hair is like this, I just feel like I'm back on the block.
When is,
ooh, that when wild is she, and crazy girl running around?
Come on. When is she learning her lesson here, people? We keep telling her, you're being absurd, and she does not learn her lesson. Like, I don't get it.
So I was already cringing about her to begin with from that video, and then I watched the movie. And I just thought she was not good in this.
No. No. I think she's... One of my favorite movies with her is Monster in Law.
Oh, yeah, you love that one.
Now, that's a good movie, but maybe it's because it's Jane Fonda. And also, that guy is so hot. But anyway, so Yeah, she is a wedding planner. She's type A. She's actually psychotic. I'm type A. I'm a little crazy. I'm a little weird. But she takes it to another level. When she eats dinner at night and she sets a full, like, dining experience, candle, little spoon, mm-hmm. big spoon, knife, pairing this, blah, blah. And I'm like, you a freak for that. You got takeout. What are you doing? What a waste of time. How many dishes are you washing every night? It just, yeah. She's a freak. And then she, the whole meet cute with them is she's gets her heel stuck in a grate on a hill and she's trying to save the heel and a dumpster is flying at her. She would rather get crushed by a dumpster.
She keeps going, my new Gucci heels. Or
okay,
like
hello.
That.
If you use any logic, a dumpster's on wheels. It's
just
not
roll
gonna,
right over it.
Gonna
yeah.
roll right over your freaking heel. And she waits till the last second. Matthew McConaughey swoops in, grabs her, pulls her aside. I got a problem with this part. They act as if she's dead.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Literally, he's like, you took quite the fall. What? You pushed her out of the way. You saved her. There was no fall. There
he
was no incident.
Exactly. And caught her and caught her head. Like, could they please? They could have thought of anything else.
And then she faints in his arms. This whole scene was the cringiest thing I've ever seen.
Yes.
Because they also try to write J-Lo as the quirky girl.
She's not quirky.
And, like, maybe that's why J-Lo's acting was bad in this, because she's yeah. just not the quirky girl next door, mm-mm. which is what they were going for. And so she has all these horrible lines where she's like, you smell like plums and
I didn't other thing. Get it. I didn't get it.
You smell like plums and grilled cheese sandwiches.
Oh, my God.
And, like, trying to say all this quirky stuff and, like, oh, my heel, is it okay? Oh,
I will say this. I will give J-Lo this in the movie. She had a banging body in this movie. And
I mean,
everything
she always does.
Well, she still does to this day. Everything that she was wearing, I was like, that's cute. That unless she was in uniform.
She's gorgeous.
Like, but the other stuff, the casual romp around outfits, I thought were really cute. Mm-hmm. And she had a couple of nice hairstyles. Other than that, yeah. No.
Her character also uses exclusively acronyms.
When?
She'll
Wait,
be
what
like,
do you mean?
The FOB is MIA.
Oh,
like Father
yeah.
of the Bride is MIA. And then she'd be like, most grooms are NID, not into details.
Oh,
I was like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? What are you trying to show us about this?
That's
character?
Like in the episode of The Office where Michael tries to over, like, he used acronyms for everything, but then he just
yeah.
has to explain everything so it takes 10 mm-hmm. times longer. That's what she's doing.
Well, that was like, that was Kevin. Remember?
Oh,
he's
was
like,
yeah.
few words take. Less time and then but anyway.
It's so good. Okay, anyway, she yeah. literally gets hospitalized from this fall because she faints. I mean,
she's a neck brace.
She's a freaking weakling for
me?
This she's a
Are
weakling
you kidding me?
So she wakes up and you realize that he's a kid doctor trope. And so then Judy Greer, which I usually love her,
she's in everything, yeah,
was so annoying in this movie. But, like, I guess everyone was pissing me off in this. She was so, like, screaming. She screamed every line. She comes in, and she's like, I thought you were dead, blah, blah, blah. And she basically sets them up on a date.
Yeah.
Why the hell is he agreeing to this if he's engaged and he goes on a
yeah.
date with her?
At this point, we don't know that he's the groom, but we all saw it coming because
yeah.
the bride who she's starting to work for is like, where's the groom? He's gonna be around here
yeah.
somewhere. And we never see the groom, so of course it's gonna be Matthew McConaughey.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah, so he agrees to go on this date, basically.
Yeah,
what?
They go on the date. They go to an outdoor movie. We learn that he only eats the M&Ms that are brown because he thinks there's less artificial flavoring, but everyone knows that there's artificial flavor. He's such an idiot, and he claims he's a doctor. Don't go to him. So they then dance or something, right? And it's like this romantic first date, right? We still
yeah.
think that he's just a rando guy. I do love a dance scene. Now, this is mm-hmm. The other thing, okay? I got a lot of thoughts with this. I regret so much that the wedding date was our first episode ever, because I think it would have actually held up against some of these other movies. You were bashing
yeah.
the wedding date so much, but you know that it is better than this
movie. It's better than this movie for sure.
No doubt. justice for the wedding date. Okay. I like the dance scene, though.
J-Lo is the biggest pick me in this.
Yes. Yeah.
She's like, oh, I do Scrabble tournaments.
Oh, my God. Oh, shut up. Like, no one cares.
Just every line is delivered with this, like, almost baby voice.
Absolutely.
Oh, I do Scrabble. I mean, I do the Scrabble. Fact that she... I like to dance.
She freaking faints. Yeah. Okay? Right away after just falling over a little bit. You are the most dramatic, annoying person I've ever met. I can't deal with it.
Yeah.
So she finds out that he's the fiance to who he's planning she's doing the wedding for or whatever.
Yeah.
They dance very well together, right? So they're just showing these people are meant for each other.
She finds this out at a dance class that the bride and groom are supposed to do together.
Yeah.
But the bride has to take a call, of course, so she has to dance with Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
And the instructor's like, now these two are the greatest dancer I've ever seen.
It's so ridiculous. And I'm usually for this stuff, and I'm just like, it's not working here, yeah, people.
It just didn't work.
Yeah. Now we get Karev again. I don't understand why he's always showing up. It was so disorganized. The three of them, so J-Lo and the fiancés, go on a venue tour of this, like, gorgeous vineyard venue castle thing. And all of a sudden, Karev's showing up. Because in the background the whole time, J-Lo's dad is trying to set them up. Because he doesn't want her to be alone. Yeah. He's always there for some reason. He's weird, and I absolutely... Karev's one of my favorite characters in Grey's Anatomy, and it was hard to see him like this. Yeah. Again, she's hopeless and can't do anything for herself. Her horse goes crazy while they're all horseback riding, and Matthew has to chase after her. I don't know where Karev goes, and Matthew has to save her off the horse. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And
she has to straddle him?
Straddle him, yeah.
Like, mount him, what? Is that what we said last episode?
Yeah, like, what? It's just outrageous scene after outrageous scene. At one point, she's yelling at him. And because she's like, what the hell? Like, you decided to go on a date with me when you were engaged. So what was the point of that? Like, I basically fell in love with you on this first date. And he admits that he was attracted to her the night of the movies. And he goes, maybe I was just being a guy and an opportunity presented itself. Excuse me?
Oh, my God.
You were just being a guy, so you're just going to be a guy and cheat on your fiance? Excuse me? What?
It's just...
How is that swoon worthy?
Yeah, I mean, the premise is just not good.
No.
Of them going on a date.
It's not quite as bad as a 15-year-old and a 28-year-old, but it's pretty up there.
Yeah, and... Also, like, she's told the bride about this, her great date with this guy. So the bride's like, oh, what happened to that guy that you had fireworks with? And that also, the bride is super nice.
She's so sweet the whole time. Justice for her. I mean, she does nothing wrong. She just is busy and has a big business. So she's not there.
Yeah. So I might be jumping a little, but the part that made me the angriest was... They have all these little moments, but they're talking to their friends, and his friend's like, oh, you're just liking her because of pre-wedding nerves, and Judy Greer is like, you know, you can't do this. You know, the cardinal rule of wedding planning is you can't fall for the groom.
Oh, my
God. What the fuck does that mean?
Is that really a cardinal rule? Does that have to be a cardinal rule? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Why would that be a rule? And so he shows, but he realizes that he really does like her, and maybe... Ugh. He's not, you know, the
they don't
bride
even
isn't
actually
him.
Have connections though.
No.
Like, they don't even know each other.
No. Because he was all mad that she was engaged to someone else. And the deepest moment they got was he goes, well, why is your dad trying to set you up? And she says, I guess it's just because he loved my mom. What the fuck does that
Excuse
mean?
Excuse me?
That was the deepest conversation they had.
The only time that they're really talking one-on-one is when she's basically blackout drunk.
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, so the scene that made me mad was he goes to her door and he tells her that he has real feelings for her. And, like, basically he's ready to call off the wedding.
Is this when she was drunk and she had to be brought home? Because he comes back, he leaves, and then he comes back and says that he's like, I think I love you.
Yeah. So that's when that happens, and she tells him no, basically. But the next day, or a couple days later, or whenever, the bride, Wendy, is that her name? Yeah, Wendy, is having a heart-to-heart with J-Lo, and she tells J-Lo, I don't think he's the right guy for me. I don't think I'm, like, I don't think I should do this. And I think, oh, perfect. J-Lo can tell her. She starts off like, you deserve the world. You deserve someone who's going to treat you like the way you deserve to be treated. All this stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is great. She's going to tell her that her fiance is a scumbag and doesn't, like, you need to move on. But she's like, well, the way that you guys look at each other. Or
he said to me the other day, I can't believe how lucky I am. Ash, I have so many problems with this 10-minute period.
She tells Wendy, I know that you're going to be married forever. Like, you have to go through with it. Why are you convincing Wendy to go through with a wedding when you know her groom is confessing feelings to you the day before and she already doesn't really love him? She just told you she doesn't really have...
Like, girls should help girls, and she did not help a girlfriend out. Let me say this. This part made me so mad. She is doing exactly what was done to her. She gets so drunk that one night because we find out her previous fiance cheated on her the night before her wedding. And now she's basically doing the same thing with Matthew. And she doesn't give a shit. Like you said, when the fiance is coming to her and confiding in her and saying, I don't think this is going to work out. Please help me. I think that maybe we should call off the wedding. She talks her into it. What a freaking psychopath. This is so unhealthy. She could have saved their marriage. She could have saved the dad $1 million for paying for this extravagant wedding. It makes no sense.
Yeah. If she knows also, both the bride and the groom aren't in love with each other, what are you even doing here?
I think that the bride's name is Fran.
Oh.
Not Wendy. Maybe not. Who's I don't know. Maybe they deserve each other because it's just so toxic that the situation they're putting themselves into.
Yeah.
This is the other thing that's really weird. Karev comes back and he proposes after J-Lo said multiple times, like, she doesn't want to marry him and this isn't going to work out. Mm-hmm. And they don't even fucking know each other. And he proposes to her with a dollhouse and she says yes. Like, what is happening? I'm just very confused by all the events in this confusing movie.
And so she gets engaged to Karev.
Ugh.
For real this time. Like, they're going to go to the town hall and get married.
Yes.
Which is insane.
I also have a problem with Matthew constantly wearing a black leather jacket the whole movie. Why? What was that choice for?
I don't know.
Why did they go in that direction?
Nothing adds up in this movie.
No. And what really is crazy is, like, basically it comes to this culmination of both of them are basically having their wedding. She's going to the courthouse with Karev, and the other two are getting married at this extravagant thing. Matthew McConaughey goes to Fran and or whatever her name is and is like, I think we need to talk. She's like, what are you doing looking at me? You're not supposed to see the bride before the wedding. That's bad luck. And he's like, no, we need to talk. He waits till now to pull her aside. And he goes, why did you decide to marry me? I felt really bad. I know that she wanted to get out of it, but I felt so bad for her in this scene because she had talked herself into doing this. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, moments before, like, the music is playing to go down the aisle, and she's, I thought she did this scene well. She starts panicking, and she's like, are you really doing this to me right now? Like, what are you doing? You're saving this for now.
Yeah.
Then she eventually calms down, and she was like, yeah. Clearly, she realized that he's a freaking psychopath, and so she was like, yeah, let's call this off. I'm not doing this. He puts her in a taxi. She drives off, never to be seen again. He now has to rush to the courthouse because he needs to stop J-Lo's marriage.
Yeah. Judy Greer tells him, like, J-Lo's gone to get married.
Yeah. So he rushes off.
Why would she get married at the exact same time as him?
Because this is insane and nothing makes sense. He tries to stop it. He gets there and everyone's waiting outside. And the dad, I guess, stopped the wedding. The dad's even off his rocker, because he tries to set up an arranged marriage for his daughter because he doesn't want the daughter to be lonely, but it's with someone that she doesn't know and she clearly doesn't like. Why are you doing this to her?
Yeah.
So I think they just end
they have this weird moment where he admits that him and her mom were in an arranged marriage.
Yes.
And it worked out, but it wasn't like, it wasn't a great, it didn't feel very heartfelt.
No, and it's just like,
it was clearly meant to be like the emotional crux of the movie.
Yeah, like there was no point to it. And you're right, it was supposed to be this big moment. And I think he just said, like, we ended up loving each other because we had to take care of each other when, like, the mom got cancer or something. And it's just like, mm-hmm. or whatever happened. And you're just like, okay, mm-hmm. what? So basically she sobs off, like, her sad self to the movie theater again. And you see her eating just the brown M&Ms. And he comes up to her, ask her why she's doing that. And then they make out and that's it. And you're just like, thank God that's over.
Yeah. He shows us the courthouse and Karev has this weird speech where he's like, it wasn't me, it's you. And then a long pause, it's you that she loves. Like, it was just a weird dramatic speech.
It's and really, really
nothing
bad.
Made sense.
It's really
the chemistry
bad.
Was horrible between yeah. the two leads. I just was confused. I was scared. I was
absolutely really
yeah.
I mean, hated
bad
everything
week.
About it.
Worst week of the bracket that we've had, I think.
100%. I don't know, at least usually
normally
it's like
we have at least
good
one
movie.
Good movie. Yeah,
yes, this was so bad. So I guess let's
and
just get into
I had
the
high
story.
Hopes for Licorice Pizza.
I thought so too, because it's advertised as one of those movies that you think
yeah,
everyone's talking
it feels
about
vibe-y.
It yes yeah. I'm always down for a vibey movie, but this was absolutely the wrong vibes. I don't want to feel like a pedophile watching a romantic comedy.
And I do think maybe it would have been, like, received differently if it was gender reversed. If it was a 15-year-old girl and a 28-year-old guy.
Yeah, that would be terrifying.
Yeah, I think more people would see that it's a problem.
Yeah.
But I don't know how this got past the...
I don't know.
The critics. I don't know how
and really,
this didn't get canceled.
Again, like I said, if you just made them closer in age.
Yeah.
If you just made them 18
and... 18
and
16. Like a senior yeah. in high school versus a sophomore in high school.
If you really wanted to do the pedophile thing, like then just make it closer in age. It was just so bad.
Yeah. Or make them both adults in different stages of life.
Yes.
You know, like a 19-year-old and a 30-year-old, which is still sketchy, but whatever.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. Let's just get into the ratings, even though mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest with you, I have to wing Licorice Pizza, because after the movie, I was so mad at it that I literally wrote zeros for everything, and obviously we can't do that. So, all right. Let's do tropes for Licorice Pizza. Zero.
Is statutory rape a trope?
Maybe. Seriously, I don't even know what the tropes really are, because well, I'm not gonna say grand romantic gesture because all they did was run to each other.
Neither of them had a big gesture, but there's like a dramatic scene, I guess, where they both run into each other's arms. There's like jealousy, you know, she's
We're
making
grasping.
Him jealous, he's making her jealous.
I'll give this a two.
Yeah, I need to think. I don't know.
I don't even want to think about it, too. Let's do tropes for wedding planner. So this one obviously has
This one has tropes. More tropes.
Wedding planner, in love with who you shouldn't be. Maybe in love with who you shouldn't be is a trope for Licorice Pizza.
Yeah. Forbidden love.
Forbidden love, yeah. Judy Greer, obviously.
Quirky
always
best
putting
friend.
Work before love, right? She's type A. He's a kid's doctor. Running into the ex with the new guy, and then she's destroyed by the ex, and blah, 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 and then all the wedding stuff, and the grand romantic gesture, they're running, they give up their weddings for each other.
Meet there's cute.
Meet cute.
There's a lot of tropes, but they're poor quality tropes.
Absolutely poor quality.
Not well executed, so I think a five.
I think that... There's just so many tropes, though. I agree that they're poorly executed. But this is a trope category, and I gotta give it a little bit higher. Because
it's okay, just, what do you think?
I think it has to be, like, 7. There's a ton of tropes.
There are. I'm just feeling...
I agree. I'm feeling lackluster about everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Quality for licorice pizza. 0. All right.
Look, I can see why the critics say it's high, because it's a little bit more... Like, the... It's clearly...
As you know, me and Brian...
A bit more of a vision listen, for...
It's that type of... They're trying to be indie. Me and Brian always say it. It's... That A25 bullshit or whatever. Like, they're trying A24. To be, and some of that stuff that they put out is good, and sometimes it's just so bad. This isn't them, but I'm just saying it's like, it's that type of movie that you're like, I know what this is going to be about. They're trying way too hard. They're trying to be different. They're trying to be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They're and sometimes they nail it with quality, and then they sometimes you have this.
I feel like they were trying to be the next Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah, and they failed. That movie?
Yeah, they failed so miserably. But
so, like I said, say,
I thought the acting was quality.
Yes.
And I thought the cinematography was good.
That's why I'll give this a 5.
But I thought the script was bad, and I thought the direction was bad.
Yeah, and it was too long.
Yeah, so 6.
And listen, I'll sit through Dune 2. A million times, and that's the longest movie ever. I mean, that's top quality. Look, I'll sit through
Dune followed by Dune 2.
Followed by Dune 2 again. This was too long, though. 5 it is. Wedding Planner. Quality. I mean, this might this even be lower.
Bad. Yeah.
I mean, 3.
I don't know if there's any redeeming quality factors in this movie.
No, because it's not good acting, and it's not good script, and it's not good film. It's not interesting shots. No, Licorice Pizza at least had interesting shots.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm giving this
the set
3.
Design was at least better in Licorice Pizza. You had so I mean, clearly big... someone put in effort to make the wardrobe look 70s, make the set look 70s.
Yes, yeah. Their big thing that they thought was so funny in The Wedding Planner, which I guess this goes into comedy, but I'm just thinking of, like, landscapes and things happening is the penis scene.
I forgot about that, and that was horrible.
Yeah.
Basically, they're in a statue garden, and they knock over one of the statues, and the penis comes off, and then he accidentally glues it to his hand. So their big emotional moment happens while she's trying to get a penis unstuck from his hand.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be the funny moment, and it just
You're telling me that's comedy and that's quality? No, thank you.
All right, yeah, 2-3. I don't know.
2.5.
At least Matthew McConaughey was good.
And he wasn't even his best.
No.
Lightheartedness, Licorice Pizza, I mean, excuse me?
I was depressed. I was...
Depressed.
Horrified.
So, 2.
Yeah.
Not lighthearted at all. Lightheartedness for Wedding Planner. I don't think this is really lighthearted either.
No, it didn't make me happy.
The whole time in the background, it's just, like, kind of depressing because the dad just keeps saying to her, like, you're gonna be alone. And then she's in love with a guy who's, like, cheating on his fiance, basically. And it just felt very, like, I hate this and I'm trapped.
Yeah.
But I will give it a little bit higher because there was no pedophilia. So I will give it 5. 4.
Yeah.
4.
Okay.
All right. We're really winging this. Comedy for Licorice Pizza. Did you laugh? Genuinely, did you laugh in this? Let's think.
Did I laugh? Maybe Bradley Cooper when he was...
Maybe.
You know when at the gas station he was just going crazy to give
Yeah, but
gas.
By that time, by the time we get to the gas station, I was exhausted from watching.
Yeah.
So I couldn't even chuckle.
I don't know if I genuinely laughed in either of these movies.
I think I would give comedy for both of these movies the same score because I didn't laugh once, and I think they're going to be both low.
Yeah, maybe like a 3.
3 and a 3?
Yeah.
I just wasn't even laughing, and it didn't feel like they tried. Okay, romance, Licorice Pizza. I mean, this is psychotic. How could you even call this romance?
We can't condone pedophilia. What else is there to say? We can condone it.
Yeah. Like, I legitimately felt nothing from this. I think it's a zero.
I was just horrified the entire time.
Yeah. And like we said, they didn't help each other in any way. They didn't grow at all.
No.
They reverted back to just being absolutely insecure, horrible. Didn't learn a lesson.
Yeah. No. I mean, here's the thing. I say that all the time. I'm so sorry, audience. The way that they were showing his flaw and immaturity is him starting all of these companies without proper, you know, research and fundamentals, and he's too impulsive. And so it would have been a better story arc for it to end on him getting a normal job or something.
Yes.
But it ends with him opening yet another business.
Yeah, but I really thought we were onto something with her working for the campaign. Like, finally she was gonna feel purpose. No.
Neither of these characters grew.
Zero. I wonder what they're doing right now, since this is based off of real people.
I don't know, like dead or something.
Gosh, I was thinking the same thing. So
I'm gonna look up the real guy.
All right, well, let's just rate Romance for Wedding Planner. This has to be higher than a zero, but also extremely low, because he cheats to be with her. They had absolutely no spark, no chemistry. I didn't feel love connection at all. The one time that they tried to really, like, spend some time with each other, she was extremely drunk after running into her ex. I'll give them maybe 1 point for having very good dance moves together. That's always sexy. Other than that, no chemistry.
No, I was not feeling flutters in my stomach. I wasn't feeling excited about life.
No. Excited about life. This journey that we're on, I'm giving this a 2.
Yeah, 1, 2, I don't know.
It doesn't even matter, because this is, they're plummeting.
This is the end of the line for whichever movie moves
we
for.
This is it. All right. Wedding Planner is 18.5. Licorice Pizza is at a 12. Wedding Planner will be moving forward, but that'll be it, folks. We will, of course, do a bonus where we will have it pinned up against something, but boy, that should be interesting.
Okay, so I found the guy that it's based on.
Okay.
Based on Gary Goetzman.
Oh, Gary.
Who is an American film and television producer and actor. Co-founder of the production company Playtone with actor Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
Okay. He starred in the original Yours, Mine, and Ours.
Never saw it. Just saw the Dennis Quaid one.
Was that what the... Oh my gosh, that must be what the... You know how the Gary in the movie was on the show where there's a ton of kids?
Oh, yeah.
And Gary real life's big break was Yours, Mine, Ours, where they have 17 kids. So
that must have been it. That has to be it. Interesting.
And he's done, like, all the Tom Hanks movies.
Ew.
Wow.
Wait, that,
let me see if he's married.
That paints Tom Hanks in a different light for me. I'm uncomfortable now.
He got married in 1986. Let's see how old his wife is.
Yes, please. She's 101 years old.
She's not famous. How am I going to find this? Oh, wait. I found a fun fact. The real life Alana, his wife Leslie, is only 5 years older than him.
Okay, so why would they do this for
why
the
movie?
Why did they make her...
Why?
Why did they make her 13 years older? What was the point of that? And if I was Alana in real life, I'd be like, are you kidding me? You're painting me out to be like this?
Yeah.
What a low life. Oh my God.
This is just... This was a painful week.
Painful, absolutely. Okay, so let's just wrap this up. We don't want to be in pain anymore, guys. We want to
put us out of our misery.
Let's talk about next week's to come. Okay, don't forget to check out the bracket on our website. The link is in the description. We'll also be posting the final scores.
send us your thoughts on this week's episode at thetropereport@gmail.com. If you liked either of these movies and would like to apologize for them or tell us why they're good,
yeah,
please do it and we'll try to respond.
Please.
We'll try to see your side.
I would love that. Yes, please, because I just can't wrap my head around it, and I like to think I'm an open person. Not with this. Okay. Or
would you? Are you?
Okay. Listen, I'm just trying to get some people to write in. Okay. Check out our Instagram and Twitter. I'm absolutely not an open person. Okay. Anyway, check out Instagram and Twitter at the Trope Report, where we post quotes from each episode.
If you want even more Trope Report, check out our Letterboxd account, where we are posting reviews of the movies we have watched.
We've really fallen off with all this crap. Okay, anyway. Next week, we have Plus One versus Drive Me Crazy. Ah!
Woo!
One of her favorite movies, Drive Me Crazy.
One of my all-time faves. Maybe my fave rom-com of all time.
Whoa.
Who's to say? And Plus One, I think, is also good.
I've never seen Plus One.
I think I've seen it.
I'm excited, though. I'm really excited. This just already sounds better. So, Melissa Joan Hart, right?
Drive Me Crazy? Melissa Joan Hart.
How could you hate her? Everyone loves
her. Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
One of the best. All right.
Until next time,
keep it romantic.